If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Nehemiah this morning. Not be here too long today. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. Brother Kenny, it's good to see you, buddy. I know you're hurting, but it's good to see you. I mean that. And I didn't know that Brother Doyle had stepped in until yesterday. Brother Grizzle had been saying for years, whatever you need, God's got it, ain't he, brother? And Brother Kenny's not able to drive the van. Brother Doyle stepped right in, got on the insurance. And he and his wife started driving the van. I told the kids, now y'all listen to me, and it goes for our entire church. I told the kids this week, I said, it's untelling, 28 teenagers in that room. I said, it's untelling what God will do if we'll just love one another and love Jesus. And I say that to our church. It's untelling what God will do if we'll just love one another and love Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one toward another. Many of you, this was your first time kind of exposed to the Bible school. And how many figured out that it's a ton of work and one or two or three or four people can't do it? Amen. It's a ton of work, but it's worth it. Let's look at verse 1. Nehemiah has prayed in chapter 1 and he has a burden. And I will tell you this, and I mean this sincerely. I believe in a lot of areas, that's what's missing, a burden. I mean a burden. Is anybody burdened for our country? A dad that's worth his salt is burdened for his home. A pastor that's worth his salt is burdened for his people. A teacher that's worth their salt is burdened for their class. The Bible said it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up. How many of y'all know a fox is a little bitty dog? It ain't a big dog. A fox might do well to weigh 12 or 15 pounds. I mean, they're more hair than anything. Even if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Watch verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Look at this statement. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You can be seated. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to be here in the church today. God, it's been a wonderful week. It's been a tiresome week. But Lord, we know that you've met with us. We think, Lord, about the lives not only that have been changed, but we're trusting you that in the future will be changed as a result of the seed, the precious seed, the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for their burden. Thank you for their willingness to work. And I pray now, Father, that this little thought that you've got on my mind and on my heart could be conveyed in a way that it would be received. And Lord, that you would keep your hand upon us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. I believe that the Lord Jesus, has granted us a great victory this week. I believe that there's a group of people that, like the Word of God said, Brother Steve, have a mind to work. They're not afraid of the work. They're not running from the work. They'll run to the work. They'll run and see what needs to be done. I saw a man yesterday that was soaked all the way through his shirt that was working. Amen. And there were hours upon hours, even after the Bible school was over, that people worked. The people have a mind to work. But I want to give you something this morning, and I believe that after a great victory, we remember when we studied in the book of Joshua when they had that great victory at Jericho. They let their guard down. They said, don't let all of us go up. Just let a few of us go up. That's not much of an enemy. I want to say this to us this morning. We would not be wise to underestimate the enemy. And we would not be wise to think, even let the thought pass through our little mind, that we can handle the enemy. We know the one who can handle the enemy, but I can't handle the enemy, and you can't handle the enemy. And I want to make a statement this morning. If you think the enemy is going to sit still while things like this go on, you're thinking wrong. He's not going to sit still. He will do everything in his power to hinder. That's what the Word of God said here of Tobiah and Sanballat. They had great indignation. They couldn't stand it because they saw out of the rubbish, out of the heaps, walls being stood up. Breaches, which means holes in the walls, gaps in the walls being filled. I'm going to be honest with you. In my short tenure of 8 years, Brother Steve, you've pastored. You know what I'm talking about. Brother Larry, you've pastored, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. You wonder, how in the world are we going to fill that gap? Have you ever wondered that? What is going to happen? How in the world are we ever going to see that gap filled? And then you just keep praying and watch God, and God will do it. The Lord, Brother Steve mentioned it on Saturday, has taken youngins that used to be like this and like this and like this and are now teaching the youngins that are like this and like this and like this. I want to say, like the preacher did when I was a young preacher, we need to open our eyes. God's got people coming on that will do the work that needs to be done. I read something, and I want to read it in your hearing. I want this to sink in. This really, really spoke to my heart. I read it out of a commentary. It's, the title of it is Explore the Book by J. Sidlow Baxter. And you know, I don't do a lot of this from the pulpit, but I'm not going to try to take credit. I'm just going to read what the man said because it spoke to my heart. He said, we find this blending of the practical with the spiritual all the way through the story of Nehemiah. He said in chapter, chapter 4, verse 9, we read it a moment ago. We made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them, the adversaries, day and night. Nehemiah never let presumption displace precaution. Organized Christianity is over-organized today, and we complicate our own progress by too elaborate machinery. Now listen to me carefully. God wants to speak to us. He said, yet the real trouble is not so much the machinery itself as that the vital driving force behind it all has largely failed. He said, organizing has crowded out agonizing. Brother Steve, God drove an arrow in my heart. I can't speak for anybody else. Yes, we need to organize. But I'm telling you, I believe we're missing the agonizing. You say, Pastor, what's wrong with you? You guys, the church got to see two precious souls saved. Yes, praise God. But what would we see if God's workers and God's teachers and God's pastors were agonizing once again with the God of heaven? There's a young man, he's not here this morning. Every night in the Bible school, including Saturday, pray for me. He's still not saved. I'm trusting God. I'm agonizing with God. I'm begging God, save that young man. There are others. All I'm saying is, listen, Brother Steve, you made the statement and it's true. Everything just ran so good and it ran so smooth. And God is not trying to rebuke the church this morning. God is just trying to warn us, don't ever let the organization take part where the agonization needs to be. We need to agonize with God. We don't just need to work. Yes, we need to work. Please, praise God. Don't misunderstand me. You can't do it without work. But in the work, if we're not careful, it will hinder our worship. How many heard what I just said? I'm talking about hours upon hours upon hours and days upon days upon days and organizing and work. And many times can't find 5 minutes for prayer. Can't find 15 minutes for the Word of God. All I'm trying to tell you is God is sounding a warning, Brother Wayne. It takes a balance. You can't get overbalanced one way or the other. There's churches, all they want to do is worship, and they don't want to work. There's churches, all they want to do is work, and they don't want to worship. It takes both to be what God wants us to be. David, you've got them little ones around your knees. It's not too soon to start agonizing with God over their souls, over their mate. They marry the right one, they can be happy. They marry the wrong one, they'll be miserable. Amen. They had a mind to work. You all know me. Say amen, Brother Houston. I'm not afraid of work. As a matter of fact, I'm not getting any younger. And I still see things that need to be done. And lots of times, I'm just turning my head. You want to know why? Because I see more important things. There's something more important than the scuffs in the paint. But the scuffs in the paint need to be addressed. There was a man, Brother Lair, I think, took you on a tour of the facility, and he said you bragged on the condition of everything, on how the everything looked, and said something to the effect you usually don't find this balance where there's the gospel's being preached, the word of God's being heeded, and yet you can have a facility like this. And these men, listen, that are close to me know that we've been from one end of this facility to the other in the last 8 years. And God is speaking to your pastor's heart and saying, hey, don't let the physical take place of the spiritual. It's time to agonize with God over souls. It's time to agonize with God over our families. It's time to agonize with God over these children that we've organized in order to help. Now listen to me. Hear me well right here. I've already said this week. I said it to the teenagers. Said it to a mom yesterday. Never do we want to be guilty of trying to pull somebody out of another church that's settled in a Bible-preaching church, a Bible-believing church. I do not believe that's right. And I'm going to go ahead and say this publicly in case you know somebody that's doing it. I don't appreciate it here either. People leave the church and say, well, there ain't no problem, Pastor, and then trying to pull somebody else out. Well, it come out of me. A pastor that loves his people don't appreciate it when somebody's pulling. Come on over here and get over there. And they ain't preaching this old Bible over there. Well, I've done said it. We need to be agonizing with God. There needs to be a balance of work and worship. Watch what the Word of God said there in verse number 9. Nevertheless. That's an important word, Brother Steve. All this other stuff's got to be done. Nevertheless, here's what we better do. Each one of you that have those registration forms in your class, I'll tell you what God will do. If Pastor will get his and you'll get yours, and we'll get in prayer this week and we'll pour our hearts out over them and we'll agonize over them. How many believe God will work in those lives? I know He will. He hears. He answers our prayer. But if we're not careful, we'll have Bible school and go right on and forget about that. I don't know about you, but I can't forget about them. I can't forget about them. I don't want to forget about them. Watch what the Word of God said here. Nevertheless, we made our prayer, I like this, unto our God. Let me say this to you this morning. Our God's the only one listening. Them other gods are dead. Them other gods, they have ears, but they can't hear. Our God's listening. We have a mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, this is not what I expected after a successful Bible school. Let me ask you this. Do you want to have another one? Because I'm telling you, the enemy will not lay down. He will not go to sleep. He might be saying, aha, yeah, they think they can do it. That'd be the worst mistake we ever made in our life, is when we think we can do it without Him. He's already told us what we can do without Him. Nothing. I used to get tickled at Brother Garris the way he pronounced nothing. Nothing. I don't know where that come from. Out of Michigan somewhere. Nobbing. Where? Pennsylvania. That's even worse. Amen. At least they got big deer in Michigan. Amen. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Now watch this. And set a watch. Here's what God wants to say to Bible Way today. Who's going to watch? Our Bible school teachers, would you stand up right quick if you taught in the Bible school? Would you stand up if you taught in the Bible school? Some of them, Miss Hannah Mary's probably with the kids over there, ain't she, honey? Who do we have over here this morning on this side? Who? Okay, Tanita and Michael. Tanita was a big hit. Well, stay up there just a minute. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Will you set a watch? You understand what I'm... Will you set a watch? The enemy wants them, Heather. Some of them was mine, wasn't they, honey? My grandbabies. He wants them. He wants to suck them in. He wants to suck the life out of them. It's not too early. I don't care if they're 2 or if they're 20. It's not too early to set a watch. Thank you all for pouring your life into them. God is saying to them, the week's over, but the work has just begun. The work not of organizing, but the work of agonizing. I've been hearing this for several years now, Brother Ralph. I'd like to see a move of God like we used to see. How many like to see a move of God like we used to see? Well, you want me to tell you when we're going to see it? When we agonize like we used to agonize. When we get in that prayer closet and say, God, I'm not giving you 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I ain't leaving here. Do you do something? In my heart, I'm not leaving here until I know you've heard me. Brother Johnny's back here. I just now seen him. I heard him say one time, he said, you can talk to the Lord. And he said, I talked to the Lord, and I can't remember how he said it now, but he said, you know when he hears you. I think the way he said it, I know he heard me. That's all right. I knew what he meant. Amen. How many knows what it is to talk to the Lord? And you know when he hears you. Coulter. He bragged on the young man. That first night, 3 hands went up in that teen room. You know what he did? He skipped out. He went over to the children's church. And he got on his face. And you know what he told me, Brother Gancho? He said, preacher, I couldn't even get any words out. I said, that's the best praying you ever done in your life. Yeah. Colter loves to pray, but his heart was so broke. There's 3 young souls hanging in the balance that he couldn't even get a word out. How many knows this Bible teaches it's then that the Holy Spirit of the living God kicks in and makes intercession for us with words that cannot be uttered. The blessing. All God wants to say to us this morning, it ain't much of a message, but it's what God put on my heart. Don't let the guard down. This preacher knows that that enemy's standing right outside. And he's not content, Brother Grizzle, to stay out there. He wants in here. He wants in here. I thought about this, and I'm done. Verse number 10, the Bible said, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. Brother Steve, yesterday, I pulled up here. I had the mower loaded up and some tools loaded up, the trailer. And there was, I don't know, 8 or 10 bags of trash outside the door. I'd already been told back at the shelter that we have 3 little dumpsters back here. But when it's Bible school time, you're having food every night. I'd already been told that they were full. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning. I was passing Tiny Giant Market, and they got this big trash compactor behind it. I knew they were still open and not a problem at all. I throwed it all in my truck. But what if we tried to have choir this morning, Brother Steve, without cleaning this place up? What if we tried to have church or Young at Heart, Brother Gary, and all that food scraps, just all that rubbish is what I'm trying to say. In other words, there needed to be a cleaning out. We couldn't even do anything back at the shelter. We hadn't cleaned up. You understand what I mean? And here's what God's wanting to say to us. We need to take inventory. as we get closer to the finish line, and we are, there's a lot of things, if we're not careful, that ain't doing nothing but taking up space in our life, taking up time in our life. And it's keeping us from working. It's keeping us from watching. It's keeping us from worshiping. It's keeping us from our Bible. It's keeping us from the prayer closet. Many people today, it's done crept in so strong, it's keeping them from the house of God. Am I telling it right or not? And so, some things never change. In Nehemiah's day, the Word of God said the people had a mind to work. But that enemy don't like that, Brother Michael. He don't like it. He wants your boy, Brother Michael. He don't want your boy to be happy. He don't want your boy to be saved. He wants him to be miserable like most of the world. And God is saying to us this morning, let's agonize. Let's pray. Let's set a watch. Let's not let our guard down. Because I'll tell you something right now, especially when we get extremely busy, especially when we get extremely tired, Sister Kathy, that old enemy, I don't care who you are, he wants to step right in the middle of that right there, get you to say something you shouldn't have said, or even carry something in your heart you shouldn't have carried in your heart, wanting to think the worst instead of think the best of someone. That's what the enemy does. Sister Laura, if you'd come to the piano, I'm calling the church to prayer. Are we going to bathe those souls in prayer that left this Bible school unsaved? Are we going to bathe these young people in prayer that stood up here unashamed and sang for the Lord and quoted Scripture for the Lord? Are we going to bathe this church in prayer and ask God to keep the enemy on the outside? Are you going to bathe your family in prayer? Brother Thurman, I think about you and Debbie and those boys and how God has blessed you all. But it ain't that way in every family. And sometimes it might be part mom and dad's fault. It might be all mom and dad's fault. But it ain't that way in every family. And I would to God that families where God is blessed would just agonize for the families that are struggling. There's a precious lady this morning that's struggling, struggling hard. There's souls in the balance. God is saying, let's not ever let organizing take the place. I believe the Bible said, let all your things be done decently and in order. I believe in organizing. But I'll tell you something right now. If it ever takes the place of agonizing, it's in the wrong place. Listen to the rest of this statement. The real trouble is not much in the, as much in the machinery itself, but as that the vital driving force behind it all largely failed. Organizing is crowded out agonizing. There's too much working before men and too little waiting before God. There is more and more motion and less unction. It is the Nehemiahs whom God uses, the men and women who blend the practical with the spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the blend. That's why I use the word balance. It takes it. But all we've got is motion. And we don't have unction. We're missing it. Amen. Sister Laura is going to play. If you're here today and you're not saved, I beg you to come. Say, this is the day. I take Christ as my Savior. If you're here today and there's a distance between you and God, I beg you to come. Say, this is the day I realize it's not His fault, it's mine. He didn't move, I did. If you're here today and you have a burden, help us agonize over our church, over our community, over our country, over our young people, that this is a call to prayer for God's people. Would you come? Let's flood this altar. Our young people can come. You can get a hold of God. Come and help us pray. Come. 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 Let's tell Jesus. He already knows. Would you come? Would you come?